And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for checking out my blog. I really do appreciate that. And please spread the word. Let others know that Bishop E.W. Jackson is, in fact, on American Family Radio, not as a daily talk show host, but as a podcaster. And you can still catch my weekly program, The Awakening, posting usually on Wednesday mornings. So please be sure to check it out. I'm so thankful to all of you for your prayers and your support for American Family Radio and the American Family Association family of organizations and ministries supported by them. My own organization, STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, is supported by American Family Association and American Family Radio, and I am profoundly grateful for that support and all the support that they give to organizations that are doing good work. I am grateful to God that there is a network, a radio network, that is actually proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ without apology, without compromise, without diminution, without dilution, without any of that, just throwing it out there like throwing meat at a bear, folks, and just for you to just gobble it up. And I am grateful to God for that because, frankly, I don't see that happening anywhere else. And I have an opportunity to participate in a lot of media. And some of it is great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I do interviews on CBN. There's a Sunrise Network that's out now. But let's face it, conservative media is not the same as Christian media. So thank God we have AFR that is holding the line. And I think, frankly, providing a model for these other conservative outlets to aspire to. All right, well, folks, let me get into the meat here of what we need to talk about. First of all, this is the day after October 7th. October 7th, as you all know, 2 years ago, Israel suffered the greatest attack on Israel and the Jewish people since the Holocaust. Over 1,200 people murdered. A number of people taken hostage. Some of them are still being held hostage. A number of people died while being held hostage. I mean, it was a bloodbath. And now we're hearing the reports of the Hamas leaders to the attackers that they were to make it bloody, to make it brutal, to make it heinous, to make it horrific. They were to kill men, women, and children. They were to rape women. They were to put children in ovens. I mean, do all kinds of horrific things. This is the definition of terrorism, folks. This is not war. This is terrorism. And that's why Israel must destroy Hamas. And that's why I stand with Israel, period. I was asked by another organization, what should Christians do? And I gave three basic answers. I said, pray, give, and go. Pray for Israel, pray for the Jewish people, give to those charities that are supporting Israel, supporting the Jewish people, and go to Israel. As a matter of fact, I know AFR is sponsoring a trip to Israel. You can find out more about that, I'm sure, at the website afr.net. Or you can even call the station, get the number on the website and call and say, hey, I'm interested. Maybe I'd like to go to Israel. I'm pretty sure that trip is being planned for next spring, if I'm not mistaken. But please don't hold me to that because I haven't reviewed those facts recently. But you can find out all about it. But I would just encourage you, pray, give, and go. I've been to Israel since the October 7th attack. In fact, I was in Israel earlier this year. And it was a wonderful trip, absolutely wonderful. You know what? I'm convinced of this. One of the safest places you can be on earth is Israel. A, because Israel's under God's protection. And B, because The Israeli government under Benjamin Netanyahu is not playing around. They're doing everything in their power to keep their people safe. And I think they learned a lot of lessons from the October 7th attack about their vulnerabilities. And I think they're working very hard to cure those and to make sure that things like that cannot happen again. I think they've got to go on and finish the job and destroy Hamas. And by the way, let me just state for the record without any equivocation, I denounce any two-state solution. There's only one state solution. That is Israel occupying the land that God gave them 3,000 years ago. That's the only solution there is. The West Bank is not occupied territory. It is Judea and Samaria. And Israel ought to simply be living in Judea and Samaria because Judea and Samaria are the historic home of the children of Israel, period. And so let there be no mistake. I stand with Israel and all these people who are busy denouncing Israel and calling Israel an apartheid state and let's boycott Israel. All of them are a bunch of anti-Semites. All of them are a bunch of Jew haters. That's what they are. This just gives them an excuse. That's what the left has become. I've said, folks, the Democrat Party has become a demonic cult. And part of that demonic influence is to hate the children of Israel. But I would remind us, he that touches Israel touches the apple of God's eye. You're not going to win. I can tell you this, Israel may suffer and Israel may go through some very difficult times, but nobody is going to destroy Israel. Jesus is not going to allow that to happen. The Messiah is going to come and set this matter entirely straight. And he is going to preserve the children of Israel as yet by a remnant. And that's it, and that's all. And there's nothing anybody can do to change that. In the meantime, yeah, we fight for Israel's safety and security and for the safety and security of the Jewish people, not because we believe they're perfect or because we believe they can do no wrong, but because God has said, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. Not to mention that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua Yamashiach, was born a Jewish man. That was God's plan and God's intention. And God has made it to be so. So we have a Jewish Messiah because God chose Abraham from which to produce a people, chose that people through which to reveal himself to the world, and chose that people to bring forth the Messiah, and chose the Messiah before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, chose him to redeem the world from its sin and give the entire world an opportunity to come into reconciliation and relationship with Almighty God. The Bible makes clear in the book of Romans that we were grafted in because of the Jewish people and the sacrifice that they made to be the people from whom the Messiah would come. They're still paying the price because the devil is out to destroy them, just like he's out to destroy Christians. But he's never going to get it done. So I would encourage you to pray for the children of Israel, pray for Israel, pray for the Jewish people, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper. Give to charities that are supporting Israel. We're one of those charities, by the way. So is American Family Radio, American Family Association. And there are others, obviously. I'm not saying we're the exclusive ones, but give and then go. I believe every Christian ought to visit Israel at least one time. I've been 4 times now, but every Christian ought to visit at least Israel at least one time. So, all right. God bless the children of Israel. We stand with Israel. Here's the second thing I want to get into. This scandal that just broke of how the Biden administration, through Jack Smith, spied on 8 Republican senators, part of what they call Arctic Frost. Brother. They spied on Lindsey Graham, Bill Hagerty, Josh Hawley, Dan Sullivan, Tommy Tuberville, Ron Johnson, Cynthia Loomis, Marsha Blackburn, and Mike Kelly. Now, don't ask me why, because I don't think why they chose those people, I should say, because it's unclear right now. Maybe in some way they associated them with January 6th. But again, that's all unclear. I think it will become clear as the investigation proceeds. I will simply say this. These leftists, these Democrats, constantly accusing the president of being a dictator, wanting to be Adolf Hitler, all of this complete and utter nonsense, when in fact they are the ones that are betraying the Constitution of the United States and betraying the American people. Because not only were they investigating them, as you know, they opened an investigation on Catholics who attend Catholic churches where basically they say the Latin Mass, which I think they call the pre-Vatican II churches, where they say the Latin Mass and they're very traditional. Because after all, if you're a Catholic and you actually go to Latin Mass, you're a dangerous person. Now look, folks, I'm not a Catholic. And most of you listening to me right now are probably not Catholics. But how in the world is going to a Latin Mass, how does that convert you into an enemy of the state where you need to be investigated? But, you know, we've heard this kind of garbage coming out of these leftist administrations before. And that's what Biden's administration turned out to be, even though he sold himself as a moderate. He's a straight up leftist. Well, we've heard this stuff before. Veterans are a threat. People who believe in the Constitution are a threat. And you know, just make up stuff to in order to try to put the government's heel on the necks of the people. And they want to accuse Donald Trump of doing that. I've heard Pam Bondi say, we will not allow this to happen. We won't allow it to happen to liberals. We won't allow it to happen to conservatives. We won't allow it to happen to any American. See, that's the attitude our law enforcement people are supposed to have. To me, it is a betrayal of the Constitution of the American people for anybody to use the government to punish their political enemies. We don't do that. We're not a third world country. We're not some kind of banana republic. We don't do that. Here's how we deal with our political enemies and adversaries. We debate them. Okay? We try to pass policies consistent with our own values and try to defeat them in their effort to pass policies consistent with their values. We don't shoot them. We don't kill them. We don't punish them. We don't prosecute them. We don't try to use the government against them. We don't do that. I feel very passionately about that. I feel passionately about that for the protection of liberals as well as conservatives. I mean, to me, it would be the height of hypocrisy to say, I don't believe in that for conservatives. Well, but when it comes to liberals, well, that's different. Yeah, we need to prosecute them. No, not unless they're breaking the law. But the same is true for conservative. If a conservative is breaking the law, yes, they need to be investigated. Absolutely. And if found to be in violation of the law, they need to be indicted and prosecuted and then pay whatever penalty the law requires, whether they're conservative or they're liberal. But see, these leftists don't think that way. They think when they get into power, the purpose of their having power is to punish people who don't agree with them, because that's one of the ways they ensure the perpetuation of their power. They ensure that their hold on power will continue. You punish, you intimidate, you incarcerate people who don't agree with you. Well, that may be the way they do it in Iran, and that may be the way they do it in some other countries of the world, but that's not the way we do it here in the United States of America. And so I am incensed over this, but I'm not surprised. I'm not the least bit surprised. Now, folks, we have all kinds of crazy stuff going on. I've got the state of New Jersey right now. I don't mail into New Jersey because we don't have a direct mail program. So I do not mail into New Jersey. But I have got New Jersey breathing down my neck, telling me that they're going to find me, threatening to find me because I'm mailing it to New Jersey. And get this, folks, and you're going to find this unbelievable. You know what they said to us when we said, well, we don't mail into New Jersey? You know what they told us? Their representative said, well, if you have a website, you have a national website. Well, every website is national because anybody can get to it, right? If you have a website, people in New Jersey can go to the website and can give to your organization. You got to register with us. What? I knew that didn't sound right. I consulted with our general counsel and with Matt Staver, with Liberty Counsel, and Matt Staver said, no, you do not. You do not have to register with them. That's a violation of your First Amendment liberties. Now, why do you think they're picking on us? Because if every organization, every nonprofit organization has to register with New Jersey if you have a website, then that means every nonprofit organization in America has to register with New Jersey. Do you think that that's happening? No. Why did they pick on us? I'll tell you why. Because we're staying true to America's national destiny. Because it's Bishop E.W. Jackson, and they don't like me. Because I'm the one who called out former Governor Murphy and said, soon to be former Governor Murphy, and said, this man is a constitutional ignoramus. Talking about when he was handing down all these edicts for COVID and was asked, well, is this constitutional? Oh, that's above my pay grade. Well, you took an oath. Was that above your pay grade? You took an oath to the Constitution when you were sworn into office. Is that above your pay grade? See, these leftists, they are the true totalitarianists. They are the true tyrants. They are the true would-be dictators. They're the people who want to control everything and everybody in order to keep themselves in power. They worship at the altar of power. And they're only too happy to put you and me on the altar of sacrifice and stab us in the heart, metaphorically or not, in order to perpetuate that power and in order to appease the god, the idol of power. So this is an abomination. It is so contrary. That's why I say, again, folks, the Democrat Party has become a demonic cult. They really have. They're responsible for this shutdown. They could have debated the whole issue of health care if that was their sincere interest. They could have kept the government open and debated the issue of health care when they got to the budget. They didn't have to do it on this continuing resolution, which simply continued what we'd been spending in the past in order to give us time to negotiate the next budget. But no, they don't want to do that. They want to shut things down because they are hoping that the Republicans will get blamed. And because they've got the whole apparatus of the mainstream media to amplify their lies, they can pretty much get away with any lie they tell. That's why so many Americans, we look at the polls reflect what Americans are seeing and hearing. And if you are a Christian and you are a conservative or you are a Bible-believing Christian, no matter how you classify yourself politically, and you are watching ABC, NBC, CBS, you are being indoctrinated. You're being lied to because those people are pretending that they're politically neutral and they use every opportunity they can get to slip in their liberal leftist ideology. Their news is a lie. Their entertainment programs are a lie. Often even their entertainment programs try to bring in the lies of the left and make those palatable and acceptable to people. They are much more totalitarian and much more fascist than anything else that's happening in this country, because they're trying to turn the whole apparatus of the culture toward indoctrinating people. Once again, why? To say so that they will have people support them in their quest to stay in power. That's why. And they need to be exposed for who they really are. And of course, you know what? We're getting help because they're exposing themselves. I mean, for example, right here in Virginia right now, we've got Jay Jones, the candidate for attorney general. And this guy actually had the unmitigated gall and the chutzpah, which just goes to show what they really think their party believes, to say that Todd Gilbert, who is a state legislator here in Virginia, I know Todd Gilbert, by the way. I mean, we're not close friends or anything, but I do know him. And one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. One of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. And he said, if I had two bullets, this is what this idiot, Jay Jones, said. If I had two bullets and I had Pol Pot, Hitler, and Todd Gilbert, I would put two bullets in Todd Gilbert's head. And then had the nerve to go on and say, Todd Gilbert might change his ways if his wife had her children die in his arms. And when the person asked, let me give you his quote so that there's no misunderstanding whatsoever. And when the person asked, essentially, you know, what are you saying? What are you saying? Are you saying that his children should die? The person asked, in effect. And this was Jay Jones' response. Quote, I mean, do I think Todd and Jennifer are evil and that they're breeding little fascists? Yes. So in other words, the little fascist children should die with their fascist parents. I mean, folks, this is sick. This is disgusting. And while I know he has apologized, and I always say I take apologies on face value and accept them and forgive on face value, but I am not required to trust a person who says such things. Forgive, yes. Meaning I don't seek their vengeance. I don't seek vengeance against them. I don't seek them to be harmed or hurt. Certainly not by me, because I've extended forgiveness. But that doesn't mean I can trust them with power. And that's not a matter of unforgiveness. That's just a matter of practicality. Somebody robs your house and they apologize and you forgive them. You may walk away and say, you know what, I've forgiven the person. Are you going to also give them the key to your house? Of course not. Because while you've forgiven that person, you also know this is not a trustworthy individual based upon what that person did. Just because a person says I was wrong and asks forgiveness doesn't mean you can trust them in the future. And let me tell you why. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, quote, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth reveals what's in your heart. He said these things, J. Jones, that is, not just once. He repeated them. And when challenged, he came back and doubled down on it. He also called for he said, if more policemen died, we'd have fewer instances of police brutality or police killing people. He said, more policemen got killed. So he's also calling for more cops to be killed. And calling for children to be killed. And we would put that person in the position of Attorney General of Virginia, the chief law enforcement officer. You want children murdered, you want cops murdered, and you want a fellow legislator murdered? Or you're expressing the sentiment you'd like to see that happen? Or you think that would be a good thing? Oh no. Folks, this man has got to be defeated. And by the way, I would just ask all of you, please pray for Virginia. We cannot allow the state of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, George Mason, Patrick Henry. We cannot allow the state of so many of our founding fathers to become the state of Karl Marx. Because that's exactly where these Democrats will take us. Had it not been for Governor Youngkin vetoing over 300 pieces of legislation during his tenure as governor, there's no telling what Virginia would look like right now. I'll tell you what, we'd be a basket case with all the crazy stuff these Democrats want to force on this glorious Commonwealth. No thank you. We've got to get Jason Meares reelected Attorney General, and we've got to get Winsome Sears elected Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Her opponent, Abigail Spanberger, is a coward and a liar because, yeah, I said it because it's the truth. Abigail Spanberger is a coward and a liar. She will not answer the question whether she wants to put men on women's sports teams. She's avoided answering the question because she's a coward. Because she knows she's got the typical godless leftist attitude, which is, by all means, if a guy says he's a woman, then he's a woman. And therefore, he ought to be able to be on women's sports teams and compete against other women in sports. He ought to be able to go into the women's locker room and change. He ought to be able to go in the women's showers and get buck naked in front of all the women. If the man happens to become aroused, so be it. Too bad. Girls, you just have to deal with it because, after all, he really is a woman, no matter what his physiology is telling you. I mean, listen. And when girls have complained, these leftists have had the nerve to try to shame the girls as if the girls are doing something wrong. I mean, I don't know how much more sick you can get, but that's sick. You know, when I ran for lieutenant governor in Virginia, the left excoriated me because I'd said this before, that homosexuality, I said, is sick, it's degenerate, it is a poison to societies, it's sinful, it's an abomination in the sight of God. I said all of that, and oh my goodness, I even had some Republicans denouncing me and telling me I needed to drop out of the race, and I never called for violence against anybody. I just basically told what the scripture says about that way of life. And I had Republicans who wanted me out of the race. Here you've got this guy, Jay Jones, who's expressed the most heinous type of violence, even against children. I mean, not to mention their father and their mother, but against children, and then police officers as well. And you know what? You know how many Democrats have called for him to withdraw from the race? Yeah, you guessed it. Zero. Zip. Nada. None. Well, Abigail Spanberger, who's running for governor, hasn't done so either. she said, well, his remarks are unacceptable. His remarks, well, if you really thought that, why would you want him to stay in the race? They were inappropriate. Why would you want him to stay in the race? Given the atmosphere of violence that the left has created, I mean, you got this judge who just gave the guy who was trying to kill, and he is a guy, but the judge called him a girl because since he tried to kill Justice Kavanaugh, he's now become a woman from his perspective. And the judge has such sympathy for him, and that, you know, he will really be mistreated in jail and all of that. Because he now started out as a guy trying to kill Justice Kavanaugh, but now he's a woman. I mean, and he gave him 8 years for trying to assassinate a Supreme Court justice. He gave him 8 years. These people are demonic. He should have gotten life in prison without the possibility of parole. Did you realize the disruption that would have caused in our culture if he had managed to kill a Supreme Court justice? But of course, all the you're not allowed, federal law prohibits you from protesting around a justice's or a judge's house in order to influence their decision. And you had leftists and Democrats protesting all over Supreme Court justices, all around Supreme Court justices' homes, frightening their children and everything. And not a single one of them was prosecuted. And they prosecuted the January 6 folks who misguidedly ended up in the Capitol. They really walked into a trap, in my view. And they were giving some of them 20 years. 20 years, folks. And killed Ashley Babbitt, shot Ashley Babbitt in the face, and walked away scot-free. Because these people don't care about justice. They don't care about you and me. They care about power. And that's it. That's all. Jay Jones needs to bow out. End of discussion. So that Jason Meares will have no opponent in the race. Because the guy he's got is already disqualified. The guy he's got as an opponent has already disqualified himself. And he needs to go. Now, speaking of this campaign, this election campaign in Virginia, I think I've mentioned this to you all before, but let me mention it again. We have someone running for lieutenant governor named John Reed. I don't know whether I announced this to you all before or not, but I'd promised, because I've been asked by a dear friend, a dear Christian friend who is supporting John Reed, to meet with John Reed before making a decision about any endorsement or anything like that. And I promised that I would do that, and it seemed only right to me because, again, I'm not motivated by hatred or hostility against John Reed or anybody else. John Reed, though, is a practicing homosexual, and he has campaigned some time with his partner. And I did meet with John Reed, depending on when you're hearing this, but I met with John Reed on Tuesday, October the 7th. And so let me say a couple things about that. The first thing I want to say is I actually like the guy. I mean, I really enjoyed meeting with him and talking to him. He's warm. He's friendly. He's very well informed. He's articulate. He really does know the issues. There's no question about that. And I'd say, I guess we probably agree on 90% of the issues. Maybe higher than that. Maybe 95, 99%. I don't know. I found it to be very rational, very reasonable. There is a problem, however. And the problem is that he is an open and practicing homosexual. And the question for me is a question of conscience. Can I vote for such a person, for lieutenant governor, or for any office for that matter? And heretofore, my answer has always been, I couldn't. But I was only faced with the theoretical possibility. Now I'm faced with the real world possibility. And the question is, what's my answer now? Let me just say, before I get to where I am in this right now, in terms of my decision-making process, for those, because all of you are probably wondering this, and this is another reason why I met with him, because A, I don't have any hostility or hatred against him, and I thought it was only fair that I give him a hearing. I was very honest up front that I was not inclined to support him. I was very clear about that. But I was open to hearing what he had to say and seeing whether after prayer, you know, the Lord might touch me and lead me and guide me in a different direction, although I could not imagine how that could be. But I wanted to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit and to then to the Lord dealing with my heart and maybe showing me something I hadn't thought about. I did have an opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to him, because I think this John Reed is a man who wrestles with his way of life. And I think he used that language. He struggled with it, struggled with certain aspects of it over the years. And I won't get into details about that, but not that he shared with me any intimate details about anything, but I won't get into the details he did share, because I just don't think that's appropriate. It was a private conversation. But I would say he did acknowledge that he struggled with it. He does view himself as a Christian, but I presented to him the problem with that. I was very upfront with it and explained to him. I'll tell you exactly what I told him. I said, look, John, nobody's going to hell for being a homosexual. I said, people are going to go to hell because they refuse the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for their sin, and therefore refuse to repent of their sin and surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to live your way. Now lead me, guide me, help me. See, it can't be both ways. You can't say, well, yeah, I put my trust in Jesus Christ, but I'm a fornicator, and that's just the way it is. Well, I put my trust in Jesus Christ, but I'm a thief, and that's just the way I am. I put my trust in Jesus Christ. I'm a liar. That's just the way I am. I put my trust in Jesus Christ, but you know, what you name the sin. Because this is the way I feel about it. But people are not going to go to hell because they commit the sin. They're going to go to hell because they refused Jesus Christ's sacrifice for their sin and refused to turn away from their sin toward him and say, Lord, I can't fix myself, but I want to live for you. Fix me. Change me. The Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. That's not of God. I had an opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to him, and I know what God will do with it. God's going to use it and put it in his heart and continue to water it and cultivate it. The question is what he's going to do with it. Okay? So I just want everybody to know, I did not mince words about that. I mean, I didn't bring him into a meeting to beat him over the head with the Bible, but I certainly wanted him to know where I stood, and I got into that issue because I felt that was probably the most important thing that was going to be said in the whole time we were talking. In fact, it definitely is the most important thing that was said. And I think he grasped that. And again, what he does with it is up to him. But I did do that. So now, with that out of the way, let me say this. The strongest argument to be made for voting for John Reed, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, born-again believer, the strongest argument for voting for John Reed is the alternative. What you may surrender the Commonwealth to if you don't. Because the woman running for lieutenant governor on the Democrat side is just that. She's a straight up Democrat. She is, in fact, she really brings together the red-green axis. You know, that is the whole thing of the far left and Islamists. Because she is from India, but she is a Muslim. She's not a Hindu, she is a Muslim. Not that it would make a whole bunch of difference to me, except that the Muslims are the ones who are engaged in all the terrorism, not Hindus. And she's way out there on the left, like Zohran Mamdani. So, for we Christians, if we do not vote for John Reed, are we going to be allowing this woman to be elected? Forgive me, I should, excuse me, I should have her name in front of me because it's, since it's a, it's an Indian name, I have not memorized it, but here it is. Her name is Ghazala Hashmi. Ghazala Hashmi. And apparently she is a piece of work. She is the first Muslim and South Asian American to be elected to the Virginia Senate. I don't know whether that means she's both combined, first both combined, or just the first Muslim to be elected to the state Senate. And apparently she is way, way out there. She is, of course, in favor of all the typical. She's pro-abortion. She's pro men and women's sports. You name it, all the typical demonic ideas of the Democrat Party she subscribes to. She is an avid supporter of so-called LGBTQ rights. And she has made that a really, that's a central part of her campaign, although she tries, like all of these candidates, to try to, I want to talk about the economy. I want to talk about roads. I want to talk about bridges. Because they're trying to avoid the obvious, because they know the American people, they know in this case, the people of Virginia don't agree with her. She is, again, even though she's a Muslim, this is where I wouldn't trust these people as far as I could throw them. Even though she's a Muslim, and they believe in having a lot of children, she is a strong supporter of killing unborn babies in the womb. A strong supporter. Now, so if we don't vote for John Reed and we get this woman, how are we going to feel about that? That's why I say for the Christians who decide, you know what? I really believe that I am not in any way being disloyal to God or to his word to vote for John Reed, because what I'm really doing is voting against this woman, Ghazala Hashmi. So, I'm not there yet, though, folks. I'm not there yet, and I don't know that I'll ever get there. I can tell you I'm going to pray about it, and I'd love to hear from you on this. I mean, a number of you, when you found out that I was meeting with John Reed, a number of you texted me, who had my number, or emailed me, or got to me through my staff to tell me Look, if you haven't met with him, would you please? And so I had people say, you know, please present him with the gospel. And I did. Or something else that you might have wanted to say. By the way, he denied the allegations that had been leveled against him, that he was engaged in all kinds of weird pornographic stuff. He denies that. He said that is simply not true. They have made it up. It's lies. And again, I just take him at his word. That's not the basis for my reluctance. The basis for my reluctance is the fact that he is a professed, practicing homosexual, and that's a major issue for me. That's a major issue for me. Because this is what it boils down to. You know, the Bible says, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. For me, it's a conscience issue. Say, well, what about electing this woman, Ghazala Hashmi? Well, you know, I can't control everything, but I know one thing. I can't compromise my own conscience because I'm concerned about the outcome if I don't. In other words, I can't give up who I am because if I don't, the results might be something I don't desire and don't want. See, to me, that is by any means necessary thinking. And I would rather trust God and do what I believe God has called me and commanded me to do, no matter what the outcome might be, than to compromise and say, well, Lord, I did this because I thought I might be able to change the outcome and get a better outcome. I just don't think I could be in good conscience and do that. At least that's where I am right now. If I change my mind about that, I will certainly let you know. But I was honest with John Reed when I met with him that that's where I am. But I wanted to give him a hearing. I have. I'm still praying about it, by the way. So I haven't completely closed the door yet. But I haven't seen yet anything that would change my mind. Not even the strongest argument, which is it's either John Reed, who is in 99% agreement with you, which is a very strong point, or this woman, Ghazala Hashmi, who is 100% disagreement with you. That's the strongest argument that they've got. And believe me, I don't dismiss that lightly because it's real. It's very real. So anyway, just wanted you all to know that that's where we are. You know what, folks? I don't know whether I have time I've kind of lost track of time here. Let me see. You know what? Nope. I haven't lost track of time. I know exactly where we are, and I'm almost done. I've got to be almost done because I'm running out of time. So let me get to this last thing, these attacks on ICE. I just want to say before I go, in my view, this ought to be illegal. And these people who are not only the people on the streets who are attacking ICE officials, but these political leaders who are passing laws and policies that say we will not allow law enforcement to respond when ICE is under attack or to cooperate with ICE in any way, even if it means that these ICE officers are put at risk, may be injured or killed, those public officials, mayors, city councilors, whoever, who support such policies should be prosecuted for obstruction of justice or interference with a federal officer in the carrying out of their duty. And if somebody gets killed, they ought to be charged for complicity in that crime. If somebody gets injured, they ought to be charged for complicity in that crime. I guarantee you, you start locking these people up when somebody gets injured or hurt as a result of their policies, and I guarantee you they'll stop and think twice. Folks, what these blue cities, these Democrat-controlled cities are doing is the same thing that South Carolina did just before the start of the Civil War. They said, we don't want federal troops in our state. We demand that the federales in Fort Sumter leave. And when they wouldn't, they attacked it. Well, these folks aren't attacking it themselves, but they're allowing their minions. They're allowing their little leftist compadres to do it, their comrades their little communist comrades. They're allowing them to do it. What's the difference? Substantively, in my view, there is no difference. It's the same thing. And they ought to be held to account for it. Pray for these ICE officers because they are doing an increasingly more dangerous job. Did you hear about the Latin Kings in Chicago putting out a hit on this one ICE official and basically calling for the man's assassination? $2,000 for his location, $10,000 for his assassination. I mean, what? Oh, and by the way, they posted a picture. Why do they have to wear masks? Yeah, they posted his picture. That's why they wear masks. So that they can't have posters, wanted posters put up around among the gang to say, this is the guy we're looking for. Kill him when you see him. I mean, putting an ICE official in a position where they could be walking around in civilian clothes, shopping or something, and some gang member spots them and realizes $10,000 reward on his head and kills him to get the 10 grand. I mean, are you kidding me? And for these idiot, airhead public officials like Pritzker in Illinois and Johnson as mayor of Chicago saying everything is fine here, we don't need the federal help here. Obviously you do. When you've got gang members essentially in agreement with you saying, we'll take care of these ICE officials for you, we'll kill them. And again, I haven't heard a single Democrat denounce that. Have you? Not one. No denunciation of the attacks on ICE officials. No denunciation of a bounty being put out on the head of an ICE officer. I haven't heard any of that. Have you? And by the way, and none of them calling for Jay Jones to step down, to withdraw from the race for Attorney General in Virginia. I've said they have become a demonic cult, and that's exactly what they are, folks. If you look at what they really represent now, that's exactly what they are. And we have to pray for these people, of course. But what we cannot do is put them in power. So pray for us here in Virginia. We've got two candidates about whom there is no question, Winsome Sears and J.C. Meares. So I want to say to you Christians, if you're like me, you're where I am right now. Oh, I can't vote for John Reed. I just can't. Well, make sure you get out and vote and at least vote for Winsome and vote for Jason, because with Winsome, she'll be able to veto all the garbage that the Democrat legislature will try to push on the Commonwealth. And who knows, it may be that with the election of people like Felicia Storm and a couple of others, because they've only got the House by 3 votes, we may be able to take the House and we won't even have that issue, because the Republicans will stand against all that crazy legislation and it won't be introduced, which means then the lieutenant governor, even if it turns out to be this Democrat who gets elected, the lieutenant governor won't have anything to vote a tie vote on. Because we'll have control of the legislature and there won't be anything coming before her as president of the Senate, just like in the federal government, the vice president of the Senate. The lieutenant governor presides over the Senate and casts tie votes. There won't be any tie votes to cast. So between that and the veto power of the governor, wow, we'll be secure. We won't be in a position where we have to deal with the crazy legislation that these people are going to try to push on us. Well, look, that's going to do it. I've got to go. I'm going longer than I expected. But I hope this has been helpful to you, particularly the things I've shared with you about Virginia. If you have any thoughts about the candidacy of John Reed, by all means, let me know. I'm open to hearing what others have to say. I told you where I am right now. I'm still praying about it. I don't think I'm going to change my mind. But if anything happens to change my mind, I will certainly let you know. I told him I would keep him posted. I'll tell you what I can say is this. the fact that he agrees, John Reed agrees with us on pretty much all the issues, except that one, and that's a very important one, means that at the very least, we don't have to be out there campaigning against him, per se. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to endorse the writing candidate either. But I'm not going to be running around saying, you know, John Reed is the worst thing that could ever happen to us, because he's not. Ghazala Hashmi is the worst thing that could ever happen to us. And with that, I'll say you stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.